You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Around the NFL Podcast. Can't believe it's not butter.
From the Chris Wessling Podcast Studio, it's Around the NFL. I'm Dan Hansis. Got a lot of heroes. Greg Rosenthal, Mark Sessler. Oh, and she's back. You think it's Summer of Connie? It ain't Summer of Connie, because Connie is in the building.
That's the cue.
That is a clear cue to the producer for the theme song.
Fox, tiny box. Lace up red buttons, pull up butter, yellow socks.
Connie, Connie.
Do I love this?
Johnny, back
it's
on
kind
the
of
show,
bad,
like
but kind of good.
Tsunami, a rich history. Slays Cuddy B, Billy's
Bishop
C, but John's still a mystery. Fourth and inches, turn down ridges, plus a wedding ring and reject lynches. Fox in the hen house, not just the men's house. Make room, heroes, this is Connie's penthouse.
Wow.
Whoa.
I don't remember this one.
No. Home run.
I thought I did, and then I didn't. Like, that was good.
Home run?
That's fun.
I liked it. I thought it took us to a lot of different places.
I loved it. I mean, I had a Bare Naked Ladies 2 weeks vibe.
Jono Entwistle.
Very nice. Thank you,
or
Jono.
Yono, maybe it's a soft J.
Yono.
Thank you, Mr. Wentwhistle. What was his last name?
Yono Wentwhistle in the house.
That guy rocks.
Clearly a made-up name.
Entwistle.
He's a criminal.
Entwistle.
Yono Wentwhistle. Welcome to Around the NFL. How are you, Colleen?
I'm great. I'm doing really good. I just got back from Atlanta, a little trip over the weekend. My friend just had some twins, so I learned how to hold a child.
And twins.
So, yeah,
it was
great.
Did you say that, or was that a drop?
I said
what used to be a drop. What kind of twins? Like two?
Did you really not know?
No, my head was turned.
The Greg bot?
Was it like two boys who were twins, two girls who were twins,
a girl
or
and a
mixed
boy.
Scenario?
Uh-huh. A girl and a boy. And,
who cares?
Yeah.
They're human beings. I care what, like, how they arrived.
I went over. I was so impressed. Like, this is their, they didn't have kids before. And all of a sudden, they just have, like, these two newborn babies that are
Boom.
A month old. Mm-hmm. And Michael, my friend's husband, has two babies, strapped onto him somehow. They're very tiny, and he's vacuuming the house at the same time. And
Respect.
So, yeah, you know,
Respect.
It's like, you guys are doing great work out there,
parents. I told my wife, and I stuck to the word. I said, you will never see me
again
in one of those like baby strap things walking down a sidewalk. You'll never put that on me. And
why?
The baby's sitting and you're walking because I'm gonna hold my child. I don't agree with big baby strap and their whole
He
vibe.
Doesn't think it's masculine.
I would have gone in that direction. I thought it's like
that's,
it looks a little bit.
It is not masculine.
I love
well,
it.
I agree with
yeah.
you that it's not.
But
that
don't
would
wanna,
be a reason.
I don't
sorry, that's
put
a
people
luxury,
in a corner like that.
That's
but.
A luxury you can have in Los Angeles. My first Ellis was in Manhattan. You try walking around 4 miles and stuff, just carrying that baby.
See, I think it's like attractive.
You can't fit a stroller.
Uphill both ways.
I'm saying you're not putting a stroller on a New York City sidewalk. And if you're going around all day and you got the baby. You're gonna
I did
be,
a lot of carrying.
You're going to be doing a lot
you
of
like
carrying.
You like it, though. You like to see that on the street.
I think that it's a great look. Yeah.
Sure.
Okay.
I think you have it all wrong.
It's just where I come down on it, and you could strap on if you want.
Yeah. Personal needs, personal wants.
It's like a fanny pack for a baby. It's
right.
Great.
Well, you know, okay. Let's just leave it there.
Fine.
We disagree. Fine. It's fine.
All right.
It's okay.
That's what friends do.
This is Around the AFC in 48 minutes exactly. And it's a perfect time for it. We're going to do the NFC later in the week with Mr. Patrick Claibon. And we are doing this, Greggy, because it feels right. We are setting the table for what's going to be a whirlwind of about 6 weeks of football transactions. Mm. So let's see where everybody's at.
Especially the next 2 weeks. I want to get this thing out there before anything happens. But starting this weekend, I noticed you were on the free agency frenzy watch, Colleen,
yes,
hosting on Sunday. Starting around then, mm-hmm, it's just going to be popping for about 10 straight days, cuts, trades, all the rest.
Fun. I feel like it is popping now.
It's kind of popping.
The deadline is a nice branding opportunity for various people, but it's like,
it's happening.
Let's be real. I mean, we were sitting home yesterday watching bullets fly left and right on our laptops and on NFL Network.
Yes, that's true. That is true. So why don't we, without further ado, dig in to everything? Because again, the rules
How does this work
are
again?
Finite. There's no wiggle room here. 3 minutes per team, 16 teams, 16 times 3, 48 minutes. We don't go over. If you go over, our producer, and we've all signed waivers years ago, is allowed to trank us right in the old jugular. It sounds like this.
Oof.
Whoa,
whoa, what was that? That's
that
not
feels
our
like
trank.
A taser.
Whoops. Super trank.
Whoops.
You just killed Colleen. Now we don't have a fourth.
First,
get Christy in here.
First the dog bite.
Wait. Gravedigger, you do have the trank, right?
Of course. It's right.
Are all these shots fired at me right now?
Ah, there it is.
There we go.
Got a little nervous there. Without the trank, it's a problem keeping people in line. So we're going to go through all four divisions in the AFC today, NFC after that. So let us get going. Do we have any type of, I don't know, like a DJ's air horn, something to get us rolling here?
There should be like an opening ceremony of sorts, right?
Yeah, that's something we should work on for next year.
That's a good idea.
All right, ready?
Next time.
Yep. I like it. Let's start with the Buffalo Bills, and I will get us going here because, you know, this is a huge year for the AFC East champions. They have become a mainstay, obviously, in the AFC playoffs, but they can't get over the hump. They can't even get to the Super Bowl. So what do they have to do? Couple of things, and it seems like it's offense-related as we look ahead to free agency in the draft. The offensive line was a little bit of a problem this season. I could see them going down that road. But I think it is skill players that you're going to see this team look different. Wide receiver is a little weird and funky in free agency in the draft, but making a move there. This is a tight end-heavy draft. I see something there. I love so much, boys and girls, Derrick Henry to the Bills. I see them making big moves to help Josh Allen, just like everyone else seems to think. Do you agree?
I would adore that. We mentioned the Bills, the Eagles, just for fun, as Derrick Henry landing spots a couple shows ago. I think if you go after Derrick Henry, you've got to say, like, yeah, we're a team with, like, essentially a one-year, two-year Super Bowl window, and he's the kind of guy that deep in the season, if he's healthy, can literally just destroy our enemy. Mm-hmm. And Derrick Henry added to Josh Allen and friends, that's suddenly...
Who's going to want to tackle that team
in
December?
You take that Sunday off. You suddenly have a little issue.
I think a problem for the Titans when it comes to trading Henry is just there's so many good running backs available in this market. But I do think they'd want to add a little juice there. Devin Singletary is a free agent. I think they liked what James Cook gave him, but maybe he's going to be more of a third down guy. They have some big decisions, though. Jordan Poyer... kind of been a rock for them in this Sean McDermott defense. And Tremaine Edmonds, one of the first picks under Sean McDermott when they arrived here, both free agents. Edmonds coming off a career year. I think they got to be careful about like overspending to just keep this same group together. It'll be interesting. McDermott maybe taking over that defense after Leslie Frazier's gone. Ooh, we're already down to one.
That's okay. All right. Here, I got some thoughts real quick.
Go ahead.
The offensive line.
You got a whole minute.
I think is for me, that's my biggest concern because we saw the problems from that in the loss to Cincinnati. And when you look at even the way that PFF ranks them, their final run blocking grade was fifth worst. So if they're going to get Derrick Henry, they better have a good offensive line in place too. And then they really do need a legit number two wide receiver because Gabe Davis, he was expected to take that next step, but I'm not really sure he did. And when you have, Isaiah McKenzie, he's a good role player, but they need someone opposite Stephon Diggs to really make this offense sing.
All right. Hear me out.
Okay.
You get Nuke Hopkins.
You get Derrick Henry. You draft an offensive lineman. Mm-hmm.
What is this, fantasy football?
Win the Super Bowl. Have a huge offseason.
I say get Hopkins and get like a cheap running back. There's a lot available.
Get to the AFC title game at least.
Ooh. That's not going to be good enough.
I know, but this feels like their DNA. We both just got taken out.
Who got it, by the way? Or is that a magic bullet?
That was both Mark and Dan for talking after the timer ended.
All right, up next, Colleen Wolf, the Miami Dolphins.
Okay, Mike McDaniel, his first season was pretty promising, you guys. He made some fashion statements.
It's great having Colleen here.
He made the playoffs. Yep. And I think that he made an excellent first impression, especially the first half of the season. They were also a little uneven at times. And I think this first season for McDaniel was not unlike Nick Sirianni's first season with the Eagles. And the fact that they were able to get to the playoffs and it was unexpected. They lost in terrible fashion to the Bucks, but it kind of reminds me of that. And I think Tua, he showed some growth and development before the concussions. But, I mean, when you look at their scoring, they scored the 11th most points per game. Bop, 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 bop. I mean, the receivers they produced, you have two receivers there with over 1,000 yards. Their defense was the weakness. And Vic Fangio is going to try and change that, make it into a strength. The secondary really dropped off. It's the biggest area of weakness for them. Byron Jones was hurt all season. He'll get cut if he hasn't gotten cut already. Mm-hmm. He got cut. I don't know. He will. And then Xavier Howard, he struggled in coverage too. So that's a major situation that they need to figure out. But they have no first round pick.
They're in a tough spot. Not a lot of cap space. No first round pick. Heightened expectations after that year. Very difficult division. And you mentioned major holes, offensive line, secondary. Fangio will help that, I think, with coaching. But they profile as a team that would want to be very aggressive this offseason, and yet they don't seem to have as many resources to do it in terms of cap space as you would hope.
I mean, I love the idea of a team being in the second year of a Mike McDaniel offense, except so much went well through the year last year. I mean, it all came down to complete chaos at the quarterback position in terms of durability, and I think that, you know, I know Mike McDaniel keeps coming out and supporting Tua over and over. I just wonder if they're a sneaky little team, we talked about it last step, that might be tempted to chase someone like Lamar Jackson because their owner keeps wanting to chase these guys left and right.
Yeah.
Or bring back Tom Brady, but he says he's not coming back.
Yeah. Rich Eisen had said that he had heard.
There was a rumor
a
going
rumor
around
out
that
there
Tom Brady tried to swat down. Yeah.
Brady with the Dolphins. So.
Miami.
I can't imagine that happens. That would be crazy. But, you know, he's already come out of retirement once. Yeah, I think that the Tua thing is it does feel like there might be something missing here. As much as they do love him, do they really want to go into a deeper relationship with him? And if Lamar's really there, I know Darlington reported that they weren't in on Lamar, but
you got to put that out there.
Lamar did play well, though, and I think that they played the Bills really close all season long.
Tua.
Tua.
You comped him to Sirianni and the Eagles, though. Would Tua make a Hurts-like leap? He already made a leap last year.
I don't know.
You know.
Not like that.
I was right in, came in right under the...
Is it because of the tank situation? We're not going to trank her when it's... unless it's egregious.
Graver already killed me at the top of the show.
Trigger figure with Mark and Dan.
It's like the play clock situation where it's well, if it's we look at the clock first.
Right. There's the tenth of a second after 0-0, 0.9.
Right. It was the second over, but it's fine. Mark Sessler, the New England Patriots.
All right. I have a past with Bill Belichick. He's part of my youth. I really have always thought highly of him. But I keep
the
wondering.
Belichick letters.
Yeah, I keep
NFL.
Wondering.
NFL.com, Mark.
Still, that's right.
Still
NFL,
checking that mailbox for the return.
If you can still find it on our site, we'll see. I just keep wondering if last year Belichick was sort of doing a high level punking of society and will completely get Mac Jones back on track under his guy pal Bill O'Brien come September. Load up on free agents. They have a major amount of cap space this year, seventh most in the league right now. Six draft picks in the first four rounds. Maybe they go back to playoffs. Everything's fine all over again. But then I also I do ponder how last season, I thought it was one of the rare shining examples of the Pats totally mismanaging last offseason and sabotaging their quarterback.
Saboteur!
Under a defensive coach. And somehow it's Bill Belichick Didn't see any of that coming. And it leads me to ask a sacrilegious question. As the league is growing so quickly, is there any concern here in March 2023?
I'm going to send the trinket to your neck.
That Bill Belichick, in a hyper-evolutionary NFL, is he showing signs of being left behind just a little bit?
Oh.
Whoa.
Or a lot.
I don't know if he's being left behind, but I definitely know, I wrote this down after you said it, I know that last season wasn't a high-level punking of society.
Right.
I think Bill messed
up. But we didn't talk about it that way, like, oh, it's going to be fine. Like, everyone's all getting all worked up, and then it was a disaster.
I've said it often on the show. It's like, Bill, when has Bill ever made kind of a fool of himself and not been ready to develop a young quarterback and run the team the right way? Well, then we saw it. Like, the idea of the Joe Judge, Patricia thing, we don't need to talk about that again, but we know it went poorly. And it is kind of crazy to think, Greggy, I know you are Belichick supporter number one, that he did kind of – these are uber-valuable rookie contract years, and you had a very promising first-year player in Jones. You kind of just booted his second-year development, and now you're in a kind of a weird in-between stage.
Yeah, because they need so much help. So Nelson Aguilar is a free agent. That's fine. Mm-hmm. That's good. Jacoby Myers is a free agent. That's bad. I hope they
– Bring him back.
Bring him back. But – yes, they have cap space. They also have so many needs. Like, pick a tackle. I don't know if they're going to keep Trent Brown or not. I wouldn't shock me if they cut him. Then you would need two tackles. They need help in their secondary. Jonathan Jones is a free agent. We don't know if Devin McCourty is coming back. There's just, like, not a spot on this team that I feel totally comfortable with. Some good young pieces on defense in general. But Jonnu Smith's still on this team. Hunter Henry's kind of overpaid. Like,
so weird.
They need to make a lot of moves.
Like, it's a weird team.
It feels like a team that is like old and trying to be young. Like, just from the roster, the coaching staff. It's like, hello, fellow kids. That is the team.
Little Buscemi with the skateboard. Yes.
They still win 8 or 9 games every year, but.
But what? Did you watch the game on Monday?
New York Jets.
New York Jets. Okay, we spent a lot of time talking Rodgers. We will talk Rodgers some more. So let's talk about the non-Rodgers aspects to this team. What do they do if they get Rodgers? Are you going to have to clear a lot of cap space that could be Carl Lawson? Was a big-time pickup. Could be Jordan Whitehead. I guess my issue with all the talk about Rodgers is like, well, you put him with the best defense in the league and these young pieces and like away you go, but they won't be the best defense in the league next year. That's just like not how it works. I think you have to expect the defense to take a step back because that's usually what happens and you have a decent amount of free agents there and you need a guy like Rodgers to juice up the offense a lot to make up for what's going to happen to the defense. It's 2022. Defenses only matter so much. I think even the Jets saw that in some big spots that like the defense is only going to take them so far. You got to juice up that offense with Rodgers.
Yeah, and Nathaniel Hackett. That's going to be the key.
Well, he's getting the job done.
I think he can do the closer. This part of it. He's done this part of it before. You're right.
Enter Sandman, baby.
Hanging out there.
I know.
Jermaine Johnson is their first round pick, one of their first round picks from last year. The idea is that he could slide in and take Carl Lawson's spot. That's sensible, but then you're banking on his development. For the most part, though, the defense is coming back.
They have some depth pieces. The defensive line, they'll be looking kind of at the lower margins of free agency.
They got to get things right with Quinnen Williams to get him paid. I could see them adding a safety. And there are some nice options in free agency. I think that's a target that they'll look at. But for me, it is. If you do land Rodgers, you got to invest in the offensive line. Mm-hmm. You got to hope Breece Hall comes back and looks like Breece Hall. And I think you're ready to roll. I think they're a very dangerous, good team as long as Rodgers, if he is their quarterback, doesn't get old and is the guy he was last
year. Yeah, because he's scouting them too, and he's got to like what he sees. You're right, like the idea that they'd be top five. Sure, but they're not going to suddenly be 27th.
But maybe. I mean, they could be 11th too, and that wouldn't be shocking.
But then there's no reason to sign anywhere because like,
the idea
sounds
is that
total
the
chaos
offense
theory, but
is going to go from 25 to hopefully top 10.
All I mean is like you can't count on that totally. And I'm a little worried about their offensive line. It's like a boom or bust offensive line.
For sure. I can't believe they had 6 tackles that went on IR, and they have so many guys that are free agents too coming up. Tackles.
The Mekhi Becton thing is a big piece here where he fits in at this point. And I do think they need to add another wide receiver. Maybe, I wonder if Elijah Moore gets traded just because it's been a
bit funky, that road.
I love him with Rodgers, though. You could lose Corey Davis. He might get cut.
We did like come a year away from Rodgers, if this all shakes out, working with both LaFleur brothers. But they had to get him out of there because probably without Nathaniel Hackett, it doesn't go down anyway. So ooh. I understand what you're doing there.
They're starting center as a free agent. There's just like Rodgers can't do it all. Right. You still have to have a good offseason. And your boy did last year.
And Hackett
two
could
rookies
go
of the year.
Badly, but he wasn't an embarrassment until... I can't say it. Oh, fuck it. Until he got promoted beyond what he was able to do. Now he's back down a spot.
And got saddled with a quarterback that decided to die on us. So.
All right. Let's take a break and then move on to the AFC North.
You go into your shower feeling tired. But as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we push against typical societal norms. We embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful, providing a space for raw, unfiltered conversations that celebrate vulnerability and allow you to tune in to share, connect, and find comfort together.
Our tears come as a way to let us release what we can't hold anymore.
I trust that no one's ever going to find out those deepest, darkest secrets.
Yeah, it's been a hard day. She walks out, and this is what she looks like.
Oh my gosh, give her an Oscar.
Listen to A Really Good Cry with me, Radhi Devlukia, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're back. Let's keep rolling. Give me that air horn again. Let's get back into it. The Baltimore Ravens of the AFC North. So, obviously, the big story is Lamar. Did the Ravens say goodbye to Lamar when they hit him with that non-exclusive franchise tag? If Lamar doesn't find a suitor that meets his contract demands, would he be open to going back to Baltimore on the tag? Or open to hammering out a deal that isn't in line with his original off-speculated goal of a fully guaranteed deal? Mm-hmm. Is the compromise here that he becomes the new Kirk Cousins, where he does get his guaranteed money, just not the amount that he was hoping for, and it goes over the next couple of years? Then he hits unrestricted free agency at age 28, which would be grand. He would probably do very well in that spot. Or is all this not worth talking about because there's so much bad blood now between the two sides that he is going to be property of a different team come September?
I think there's a chance he
would be
back. Is
there a path home?
I think so. If the right market doesn't happen for him, I believe the Ravens when they say they still want to keep him. They just want to do it in their terms.
I think in a way, if you're Lamar and his mom's helping him out with all this and you don't have an agent, the Ravens are, if anything, saying go ahead and find your deal and we'll see if we want to match. You're giving him the freedom to go do it. I think that's showing enough respect for him if he wasn't happy with how slowly the process has gone with the Ravens. But they've been doing this for so long.
It's a little tricky because you got to put a team together, though. You would like to know if Lamar is the guy or not.
By the way,
you would need a quarterback if Lamar is not your quarterback.
Well, exactly. That's my more thing. This doesn't shake out. They are suddenly maybe left out in the cold in a massive way at the most important
situation. That's why you got to trade him for Mac Jones in a first.
Wow. Everything revolves around how this Lamar Jackson situation shakes out. Their entire future, short-term and long-term, depends on this right now, and that feels so risky. But I guess they're just banking on the fact that Lamar Jackson won't have the market that Lamar Jackson thinks he's going to have. And I guess if teams don't want to give up 2 first-round picks, they could eventually do some type of sign and trade situation. But I mean, this is a team that also has a lot of other questions, at wide receiver.
Yes, they should be in the Hopkins business.
Yeah.
Well, wait a second. No, only if Lamar Jackson or someone suitable to them being a contender is behind center. I guess that's why it's also nebulous right now with them for that very reason. They're kind of hung up in purgatory here. And is it possible that if they are willing and open to moving on, do they just take a year where they're a down team for a year and they reload and they get a good draft pick next year and they're back at it in 24? I think that's an outcome here, too. And I don't think Ravens fans want to hear that. But it might be long term, not
they're
the
too
dumbest
good, though,
play
for that. It doesn't work because their line, like I like their roster. They don't have a ton of huge needs, not a ton of huge free agents.
The Ravens are telling us they're willing to do that by everything that's happened.
Colleen Wolfe on the Bengals.
That's how you time that, by the way.
Beautiful. Here we go. As soon as you started talking about the Ravens, I realized that I wrote about the Ravens instead of the Bengals. But guys, you know what? I can freestyle. So let's talk about it here. This team.
This is going to go.
248 left to go.
Incredibly.
Right, here we go. We're doing some work here. Honestly, my biggest problem with this team, honestly, let me tell you the
truth
here, guys.
Opens with an honestly comma.
The offensive line is still a problem. It was a problem last year, and it remained a problem throughout the season. And because of the injuries late in the season, that's exactly how we saw this team fall apart. Jonah Williams, he played at left tackle all season long, and Williams did a great job. But, I mean, this has been a problem for them. So they absolutely need to get that figured out. Defensive backs also, they could use some work because Jesse Bates.
Yeah, he looks like he's gone.
He's gone. Also, tight end. I mean, Hayden Hurst might leave in free agency. And then your number two blocking tight ends, Drew Sample and Mitchell Wilcox, they're also free agents. Mm. So there's a little hole in the roster, too. When you look at this team, they have a lot of talent on the roster. So there's only a few things that they really need to get done. And offensive line is at the very top of the list.
Is Lyle Collins even back? He seems like a guy that
could be cut loose as well. It doesn't
sound like it. I think he's going to get cut. I think Mixon is going to get cut. I think they'd like to bring Von Bell back, who's also a free agent. That would be losing two safeties. Hurst, I could see coming back. I could see them drafting a running back. That's sort of their thing. They just like draft one every 5 years. I do listen to the Athletics Bengals podcast. Paul Denner, former guest of our show.
Nice.
And they really think that the Bengals will not be spending in free agency this offseason. They're saving all that money for Joe Burrow.
Well, I think they're one of these teams where you have Ja'Marr Chase down the road, and so you can't hit a bunch of positions. They did that last year and addressed the offensive line.
Years, it was and injuries. Done a good job.
It was injuries that sideswiped them, though. It wasn't their planning. I think like they're a well-constructed team at this point, but like the Bengals, to me, among the Chiefs, Bills, these high-flying AFC teams, they're losing a lot of faces.
They need tackle help. I mean, Williams was okay, but now he's okay coming off an injury, and you don't have a right tackle.
Do you
want
to hear something that's a little less than okay? Williams tied for the most sacks surrendered by any tackle, 12 in the regular season, and had a 49.9 run blocking grade per PFF.
Wow.
That's a lot. And then Bell, Bates, and Eli Apple, who I know is their fourth cornerback, but all those guys had major snaps, so I think Duke Tobin's done a great job in general and has earned the benefit of the doubt, but they have a big offseason to try to stay up at the top.
Colleen, I feel like you really did.
Yeah, did a great job there.
Just ask like a question
Bell,
next time.
Apple
you don't have to talk. Just like
three
ask
of the
a
four
question.
Most snaps played on defense. I got you. Wow. We did it, guys. We did it.
Can she celebrate or is that a trank?
Oh, no, you can celebrate. Oh, okay. You're not talking about the team anymore.
I'm so just checking for the rules. Mark. The Cleveland Browns.
All right. You're the Browns. You're roughly $13 million in the red, okay? You don't have a first-round pick until 2025. You're gonna have to restructure Deshaun and a bunch of others because there are a lot of real needs here. I look around this division, and the Browns, I don't think, thought they'd be here this season, this offseason, in this situation.
You are a factory of sadness!
Definitely need defensive line. No edge rusher across from Myles Garrett. They need linebackers, multiple linebackers. You probably need a wide receiver, if not two. Kareem Hunt's out the door. There's just a lot for Andrew Berry, who is a great general manager, to handle here. But I think all of that like doesn't really center around the nucleus as much as just that, okay, we get it. Deshaun Watson was rusty, etc., in quotes. But He also just didn't seem to fit Kevin Stefanski's offense really well. Like, it went off a cliff in multiple ways. And I guess the biggest question is, because nothing else they've done since last offseason matters, and you're not in this situation, it doesn't matter if you don't trust that Kevin Stefanski, the same way you say Sean Payton is going to fix Russell Wilson. Well, that's probably nonsense, but you can make an argument for it. But do you trust Kevin Stefanski to suddenly tailor an offense around a better version of Deshaun Watson immediately? Because all of this was them saying, among every team in this division, we're the must-win now team. And I look around the other three teams in this division, I'm not sure they're not in fourth in that. And I'm not trying to be a Browns hater, all these Browns fans thinking that. I'm not saying that at all. It's just that team-building-wise, they have a lot of needs, and they don't have a lot of answers right now.
One thing they can do is restructure, you mentioned, with Watson and a lot of their other players. And that's something where I think it gets lost, where that's where an owner like Jimmy Haslam, who has all the money, you could just restructure forever. The Saints do it every year, and everyone gets so mad, like, oh, it's eventually going to cost them. It really hasn't. You just keep doing it. They're spending more cash, so they're trying to win. So I think they'll still be aggressive. I'm with you. They have a lot of needs. Defensive line, they certainly need another weapon in terms of a receiver for Watson.
I mean, before Watson played, the offense looked pretty good.
It was like fifth DVOA.
Right. And you have Amari Cooper having this like career renaissance almost there. I mean, he definitely stepped up. And then you have Nick Chubb, who is so talented. And then all of a sudden, everything came to a screeching halt when Deshaun Watson got in there.
So I don't think they're that far away. Like, if Watson played well, it's a big if, then I think they're right there with the rest of the division.
Browns fans know this. This isn't breaking any news. If Watson is no longer an impact player, if he stinks or is even closer to average, they're shot. They have so much tied up in him, and I know you could restructure, but they tied the organization to him. He's got to play at a high level, or else.
Bingo.
Good line. He's got some things going for him. Good coach.
What a gamble.
The Pittsburgh Steelers, Greg Rosenthal.
I didn't know what to say about the Steelers. They're just like
coming back every year.
You could have started with honestly.
Yeah, honestly.
Say that you plan to talk about the Browns.
We haven't talked about this. When was the last time we talked about the Steelers? They used to be one of our Tiffany franchises, as Dan likes
to say.
Still
are a Tiffany franchise.
Kind of like the Patriots, but they're just sitting there. They're lying in the weeds. They have a young offense. They will not have much turnover on their roster. Not many key free agents, which is good news. I think they need to juice up that defense again. It's not a difference-making defense. Cameron Sutton and Terrell Edmonds, who are both starters, are free agents. I think Sutton might get a nice deal in free agency. But it's the line that bothers me. They've never figured it out. It's the same stuff every year with the Steelers. It's the secondary, and it's the offensive line. And they seem to like this offensive line, but I just don't get it. I just don't expect them to be aggressive in free agency.
You know what, though? I would say that I think last year, if you were a Steelers fan, for the first time in a while, you were thinking, this might be a rough one, and then we get out of it. Like, instead, you found out the power of Mike Tomlin, and like they found a quarterback over the course of an up-and-down season. George Pickens looks fantastic at wide receiver. Najee Harris played some of his best ball. And like the line started as a disaster, but it got a little bit better as the year went along. And the whole offense in general kind of grew together. All these guys are on rookie deals, so it's like, I kind of get you don't know what to say, because like we just have to see another year of it and see where they are after. There aren't a billion burning like voids here in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, and look at the defense before or with and without TJ Watt, so you hopefully have him for a full season. I would love it. This is not what they do. This is not a Pittsburgh move, but as much as they might like Pickett or the idea of him long term, imagine Lamar Jackson.
That would be crazy.
You want to talk sticking it to a rival and putting together, it's not a poison pill contract, but something really unpalatable for Baltimore. Mm. And then all of a sudden you have him playing with Mike Tomlin and that defense.
I do love that.
That's a wild fantasy.
Whoa.
But Kenny Pickett, like, he knows the building. He knew where all, like, the lavatories
he knew
were.
Exactly. The lavatories, the library.
He's just so. He knows the field.
Yeah.
He knew,
the grass.
Which lavatory has the extra, the smaller, the shorter urinals.
Sure. Necessary.
Which ones had the higher ones. Mm-hmm.
Do you know who
stalls
helped change the rules indirectly because of the poison pill contract? I miss poison
pills. Mike Tannenbaum. Curtis Martin.
There was a few throughout the years, but I think the last one, yeah, Hutchinson was another one.
Yep.
Was our colleague Nate Burleson, one of my close friends.
Really?
One of our podcast co-hosts, Nate Burleson.
Some of those things are true.
It was his contract going to, I think, from Minnesota to Seattle. That was so.
Wait, Nate Burleson is what, a podcast co-host?
Well, I mean, he's
a podcaster. I think
he's just a host.
He's got, I don't think he's a
colleague.
Co-host.
Interviewed Rihanna.
We just had to burn out the time on Greg's bit here. Not on purpose, but. You want to call timeout? Get to finish your bit. I'm calling timeout.
So I didn't know timeouts were available again.
You guys,
rules?
Every year, you're like, wait,
you're
you can
it
call
back.
Timeout. Oh, only Dan calls timeouts. Anybody could call a timeout. And I'm calling one.
Do
and
an
then
unlimited
giving
number
time
of timeouts?
Back to Greg to finish
his
comment.
You're giving it to me.
Yes.
I believe it was the Vikings and the Seahawks, and the poison pill thing was so crazy. I forget what the rules were. It was like if you're in the Northwest, then you get like a $7 million bonus. I don't know. They added some crazy thing into his contract, and the NFL at that point was like, all right, we need to stop.
The Hutchinson was there can't be another offensive lineman that's being paid more than his salary, and that competing team had somebody already on the roster. Poison pill. They wiped those things out. Wiped them out.
Interesting. Okay, so just to be clear with the timeout thing.
We get three.
We each get three.
No.
There's three total.
We're a team.
So one person
we're
can call.
We're all a team, or we are a team, and they're a team.
We're a team. We have two remaining timeouts.
As the Around the NFL podcast, we're trying to create the best show, and the timeouts help do that. But Dan tends to be like Kyle Shanahan, and like if the clock's running down, it's like first quarter, doesn't like to save him at all. Just he likes using those timeouts.
It's something like maybe a head coach or a host has to take control and call timeout and help.
Co-hosts.
The others.
That's what leaders do.
Yeah, I thought you did a fine job with that timeout.
The others.
I thought you were setting me up.
Co-host?
I thought you were setting me up to get tranked.
Not at all.
I assume our bylines have not changed. I have no idea who actually did that. It must have been Ali.
Scamp. The NFL.com profiles, which Henry went into mine, Henry Hodgson, about 5 or 6 years ago and rewrote mine.
No.
And the last line says, Hansis hosts, interesting, the award-winning Around the NFL podcast with an aplomb reminiscent of a young Chris Berman. And that has sat on NFL.com for the better part of a decade.
That is absurd.
So is our status as award-winning. It's been since
Take it away.
The best new podcast in 2014 or something.
All right, time in. Let's move to the AFC South. Oh, what a division. My goodness. All right, so it is the Colts. I'll start here. It's an absolute certainty the Colts will come out of free agency draft trades, blah, 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 with the QB of the future in their minds. Will it be trade, free agency, draft? Probably draft. They have the number 4 pick, and you could see management, especially at this point where the management is, ownership being hyper-aggressive, maybe moving up out of that number 4 spot to go get somebody they really want. But I'll do it again. I know I don't want to keep ringing the same bell here, but do they make sense as a Lamar suitor, the Colts? Because Irsay, quite frankly, has become a real unpredictable character, the owner of the Colts, and because of the frustrations in their post-Luck era, which is about 4 or 5 years now, would they make a play? Because if they could make something work, the AFC South is. I mean, the Jaguars are a promising team on the rise, but otherwise you can really make noise in that division with a big-time quarterback. So the draft is probably the most likely place they're going to get that QB of the future, but are they a team to keep an eye on for Lamar?
I think like Chris Ballard obviously cannot pick more than one more quarterback ever at this point. And you can't – no one would argue – going for Lamar Jackson from a talent level. I think it seems a little aggressive for who they are, but they do also have a chance that they really wanted to. They're flush with draft picks over the next couple of years, so not missing ones. Ryan Poles of the Bears has said that there is a team out there, a couple teams that have basically already offered like multiple number ones to get up, and it's not everyone you'd expect, but the Colts could do that without too many problems and get the number one guy they want. I'd like to think they'd want to build around someone young. But I'd pitch the Lamar Jackson thing on that in our Lamar episode because it kind of, if you're Shane Steichen, you just did all this with Jalen Hurts. They're not exactly the same player, but why saddle him with anything other than someone he can maximize? But
you don't think they're too wounded from taking
but they
veteran
can't,
quarterbacks?
You can't be, though. Well,
but
Lamar is different than Carson Wentz,
dudes,
though, or Matt Ryan.
I get it, but they just seem so married to this idea. Right. Jim Irsay kind of giving it away in the press conference.
Oh, that
being
was
like,
my
oh,
favorite.
Like, there's a couple good
that games. Alabama that, kid.
Yeah, like, he's looking good. I think they all just, like this idea. I also think that it's, like, good for job security. We're going to start
Wait,
over.
Wait, how does Jim Irsay talk again?
That Alabama kid.
That's pretty good.
Maybe keep him off the mic for a few minutes.
Actually, they have many quarterbacks that have played a lot of football on this roster still. Matt Ryan is on this roster still.
That's a that's an absurdity.
Nick booth. Foles, no. Former Eagle great.
My guy.
You know who's gone up a lot in the Q rating, I feel like, since the end of the season? I guess it's obvious, but, man, people love Steichen. Everyone makes it out to be that Steichen's the genius all along. Some Frank Reich leaving.
Maybe he was the one behind the butt putt.
You think so?
Colts ultimately also need a lot of players on their defensive line.
Ngakwe is a free agent. Okariki, their linebacker, is a free agent. Three. Still
Taekwon
have
Lewis,
Gus Bradley,
right,
by the way.
Huh. Is the offensive line bad now? What's up with that?
We'll see.
Oh, you're dead!
I'm already shot.
I mean, that's
I mean, was
five.
That a
that's
bad year?
For him.
Yes.
Or was that, is that a bad line? And, you know.
I mean, Quentin Nelson fell off a cliff. What's going on here? So
that's what I mean.
Yeah, I think.
Him, right?
Yeah, that one hit
also,
Mark.
It's nice to see Cooter back in the big spot.
Cooter!
Offensive line.
Love to see Cooter
coordinator.
Back.
Thank you.
Jim Cooter.
Why are we spending so much time talking about this team? Come on, of all the teams.
Let's talk about the only team that matters in the South.
That's what I'm talking about.
The Jaguars, Colleen.
Ooh, what a comeback.
Got his ass. Trank yourself, baby.
He was going to say Titans.
Trank yourself, baby.
He didn't say Titans.
Right in the jugular.
He said Jaguars.
Turn that trank on your own self.
So anyway...
I'm pissed off, Angelo.
Yes! The Jags. What a comeback for them. This time last year, they were coming off an ugly, messy public breakup with Urban Meyer. And now they're just in this like beautiful relationship with Doug Peterson. Won the division, watched a different Trevor Lawrence emerge. So they have a legit quarterback on a rookie deal right now. Came back from down 27 points against the Chargers to play in the divisional round and lose by a touchdown to Kansas City. But this is the comeback that was hoped for. This was, Dan, we talked about it on the Power Rankings podcast at the beginning of the season.
Good plug.
Which teams, which will be back next year, I'm sure.
Bang.
Which team will turn it around? So listen, they have Calvin Ridley now on the team. He's back. He's a Jag. The pass defense definitely needs some work. Tyson Campbell had a good year. Shaq Griffin, they just released him. Cap casualty there, so they have to do some work on the back end. They tagged Evan Ingram. Zay Jones also produced last year. Those were their two free agent additions, so I think they're in really good shape.
Yeah, I mean, also everyone, including Trevor Lawrence, hinted at the fact that his rookie year obviously just didn't even exist. Last year was his rookie year,
right.
And so it's year two for everyone in a way, and it's like I just think that there is really no ceiling on the Jaguars. I think the one thing that can get escape them a little bit is just expectations, where it's
right.
Like now they're just going to roll into the playoffs. It's like that doesn't always work, and it doesn't always work with Doug Peterson too necessarily. So we'll see. I'm a little.
But sometimes it does.
Doug I just Peterson don't want to ticket them for the AFC title game.
I mean,
yet.
Second year of Doug Peterson for Philadelphia worked out pretty well.
It did.
Yeah,
you're being a little teased.
No
Patriots.
One was pissed off, no. Angelo.
You're a little tease there, Marky. You said there's no roof.
What's going on with Greg?
I don't know. We're just trying to spice it up.
Still eight teams to go here.
I'm a showman.
And he moved his arms like a marching robot
definitely
somehow.
Definitely not a showman move.
I'm a showman.
I'm a showman.
This is what you do when you're a showman.
I am a human.
Action figure.
I thought it was interesting. Trent Baalke basically said to the media that
human.
Like last year was their year. Like, they went in last year. This year, they're very much just going to bring back the same team. They don't have a lot of cap flexibility. It's kind of like the Patriots went crazy in 2020, and then they totally stopped spending, or 2021, and stopped 20 and 22. So basically, the whole team is coming back. They have a couple of free agents, Juwan Taylor, Arden Key. Other than that, they're basically trying to bring back the same team, continuity. And
usually,
youth,
I would be against that. Teams, you know, you shouldn't rest on your laurels and all that, but I don't mind seeing this nucleus kind of coalesce.
Yeah, and they're young. They're young.
You know, for another year.
Christian Kirk delivered.
The Tennessee Titans.
Graber and I are just bonding at this point.
Yeah,
great
the
show
Titans,
for us.
The team we didn't bring up when Graber thought it was going to happen.
Right in your face, a trick in the face.
So I actually think they're one of the most fascinating teams this offseason because we're going to find out in the next 10 days, are they going to blow it up or not? This roster is a borderline disaster.
Oh.
I mean, their offensive line has been bad. It looks like it's getting worse. We think Derrick Henry might be available. You might as well just go the whole way and make Ryan Tannehill available. And then you're kind of in the, you know, number one overall pick for Caleb Williams sweepstakes. They could be a team, the Titans, that could go for a rookie quarterback this year too, like move up in the draft. They're at number 11, but I just don't see a clear path out. And I would only say this about three or four teams in the NFL, and it's crazy that the Titans are one of them. And they always prove us wrong. Maybe they'll prove us wrong, but it feels like
will they?
They're going to be like a six-win type of team.
Yeah, I agree with Greg actually. And here's the sound, so I don't make a big deal out of it. We're on a limited clock here. I don't want to. Okay, sorry.
But just the fact that you did all that.
Yeah.
Now we're talking about it too.
Dismissed all four of us.
I think the best course of action is for the Titans to go into rebuild mode and get a high pick in 2024. I don't think that's what they will do. There are reports that the Titans prefer C.J. Stroud of all the quarterback options in this class. He could be available down in like the 7, 8, 9 range if they wanted to trade up. I don't know if Vegas is going to trade down, but could look to trade up at 3 with the Cardinals, at 5 with at 5? The Lions. 6 is the Seahawks, or maybe that's opposite. 5 is Seahawks, 6 the Lions. All those teams kind of have quarterbacks. I mean, I don't know if the Lions do, but
you can't just like one quarterback, though, if you make that trade, unless you wait till draft.
Right.
Because C.J. Stroud might go number 1.
Totally.
What percent chance you put on Tannehill being on the team?
70. I think it's most likely 70. They do that. But if they move Tannehill, that is a clear indication of where they think the team is, which is rebuilding.
Right.
Obviously.
Their offensive line, there's no worse line last year in the league, you could argue.
Yeah, and it's not getting better right now. Taylor Lewan gone. Nate Davis likely hitting free agency.
David Long Jr. is in my top 20 now after all the tags in terms of free
agents.
Dennis
Daly?
Dennis Daly was not very good. Tied for allowed the most sacks in the NFL last year.
I like the idea of Tannehill going to the Falcons. I still like it.
And I've been through this, Justin, but like maybe this is a take your medicine year. Maybe you do strip the whole thing down to the studs.
I think it's worth it for the long-term outlook. Like what are you going to do if you go win 7 games and pick in the teens again? Like, you're not going to build for the future.
You made that run with that group, and now
they peaked.
Do you like Ran Carthon as the guy to do it?
So far, yeah, why not?
He's doing that.
Let's see what he
does. He's playing bad cop right now.
Yeah.
All right, we finish up with the Houston Texans. Mark Sessler.
And we engineered it that way because the respect for the Texans within this building, in this corporation, knows no end. They have been a consistent punching line for years. We know that. It's been a mini Vietnam on the PR front for various reasons, but I want you to take a look at the Texans now. D'Amico Ryans feels like a great hire to me. I mean, the players that have been around him are just like, I just think it's just going to work.
Everyone's excited.
You're going to work.
Everybody likes it.
You have the third most cap space league-wide. You have the second overall pick, the 12th overall pick.
Like it.
You're getting at least your second favorite QB.
Like
you have two extra first-rounders over the next two drafts. You got a handful of good players already. You've got two offensive tackles you can work with. Damian Pierce, Nico Collins on defense, Jalen Pitre. You're in a soft division right now. Did somebody say hyper juicy? Hold on. I'm going to say that loud again.
There's no reverse.
Clock's ticking. Clock's ticking.
Did somebody say hyper juicy berserker in the AFC? I'm telling you, no one talks about the Texans. This team, I think, has
Nobody
a chance
talks
to
about
do.
The Texans?
They has a chance to do a Jaguars thing.
Wait, what
I really
was it
do.
Again? Hyper jerky, juicy,
hyper juicy berserker, total disaster.
Okay.
You know, Colleen and Dan jumped in there too and had their little fun. But when I said something, immediately your hand came out and almost poked me in the eye.
Almost a physical altercation.
It's like 7 times a minute, so it's just like a
I
human
think you
reflex.
Shush,
ever
Greg.
Stop talking, Greg? I was just trying to squeeze the line out, and it blew me up. So what do you want?
You get 4 games. Did you see the Chris Rock stand-up special? For
no.
A year, the entire world is, what's Chris Rock going to do? How will he address it? He does a live show. Oh, timeout.
Once again, Dan using all the timeouts.
All right, so one left.
Chris Rock gets slapped at the Oscars. by Will Smith. Unbelievable. One of the craziest pop culture moments of our lifetime. A year passes. What will Chris Rock do? Okay, this is going to tie to what just happened here. Don't worry. How will he speak on it? What will happen? He's going to go on tour, and then he's going to put out a comedy special, and everyone will want to know how he reacts to what he has to say about Will Smith and Jada Pinkett and all
sure,
that.
Sure, the whole crew.
He does a Netflix special, but not just any Netflix special. Greggy, you know people in the world of comedy. It's a live Netflix special. Unprecedented. A huge deal. Saturday night. He waits until the very end of the set to discuss the Will Smith situation. And when he finally gets to that, after an otherwise flawless show in terms of his delivery, he botches the bit.
Oh,
he says the wrong movie. He meant to say concussion, whatever that movie was, and instead said Emancipation, the newer movie Smith did, and blew the whole thing.
Mm. Oh, that's what happened.
What? And didn't he have like 10 minutes on that, though?
And he stepped on the key joke, and it connected all the different parts of the running joke, and it was a devastating situation. And that's how I felt when you tried to say...
Did somebody say hyper juicy berserker in the AFC?
Oh,
question mark.
There it is.
Thank you.
That is.
That was a well-used timeout, in my opinion.
Todd Boat says time in.
Okay. God.
Let's see it, Nick Caserio. Everyone's like, when they were like almost firing Nick Caserio, they were like, oh, how dare they like consider firing Nick Caserio before he could show what he could do? He's also the guy who hired David Culley and hired Lovie Smith, and they each lasted 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So let's see it.
Fair. Well, to Mark's point, can they be that berserker? Well, they have four games against Tennessee and Indy, so that's a good start. The thing that made Jacksonville a compelling pick in that regard was generational quarterback getting a fresh start with a coach in Doug Peterson and some pieces in place that they're smart or a very aggressive offseason of spending. Remember, not a lot of people thought it was smart what Jacksonville did with some of their spending. It all worked out. I don't know if they're in the same places, these two franchises, but I see your overall point that if you hit on the quarterback – they're in the right place to all of a sudden jump, double their win total.
They're set up for long-term success.
Right. If they mess all these things up I just mentioned,
That's
an absolute organizational apocalypse.
Got to get the quarterback. Right. Like, not to oversimplify it, but like if you hit on the quarterback, yes, you can do that. If you don't.
Timeout.
Last timeout.
We're going to use two timeouts in the Texans. 2 seconds left. The Texans
that's the
fans
respect they deserve.
Say they don't get any respect. We're going to give it to them. And I'm just going to do it to point out a name we haven't mentioned on this show. One of the most important men in this organization is Bobby Slowick. That's their offensive coordinator. Mm. He is taking over an offense with a number one overall quarterback or number two overall, yeah, depending on where they end up drafting. I kind of think they'll end up having the first overall pick because it's just going to make sure they get their guy, that they're the most logical team. Former PFF employee, Bobby Slowick. How about that?
Wow. Very nice.
Also, his dad was a longtime NFL coach. I forget his dad's name, but he was around in the same. It's all very incestuous.
In the same sort of
Shanahan tree, and he also comes from San Francisco. But a young coach who's going to have some pieces. They'll probably trade Brandon Cooks.
They have to figure that out.
So I find that interesting.
And whatever they're going to do with Tunsil, too.
I think they keep Tunsil. I mean, they got a great left tackle. You got a couple pieces. I don't think they're Damian Pierce won the scepter at the NFL honors.
Very nice.
That was a big spot.
Very nice.
I'm kind of with you, Mark. I think they need to push. They need to make progress this year, or that owner is going to be a little antsy.
The table is there.
What's he going to do, though? Is he going to fire the head coach?
No, he's not going to fire the head coach, but antsy about the vision, maybe the GM and all that. They're not. They got a chance. Mm-hmm. They got resources.
Okay. Are we gonna time back in or
PFF employee? Also, Zach Robinson, former PFF employee, now in a big
Greg
spot.
Just wants to filibuster for the rest.
Time out.
I just want to point out that is the end of the third quarter of this show. We've done three of the four divisions, and you just used our final timeout with the entire fourth quarter still to play.
Yeah,
we're down two scores.
That was my I've just learned it from my co-host. You know, that's what you used to do.
I don't see
take
any.
A lot of timeouts early.
I don't see it. You talking about Mark?
Not me. I didn't take a timeout.
I didn't say anything.
We just didn't have a chance to take a timeout.
You need those timeouts in the fourth.
I had to get in that Slowick pop.
Let's Thank God. Let's take a break and then finish things out.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we push against typical societal norms. We embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful, providing a space for raw, unfiltered conversations that celebrate vulnerability and allow you to tune in, to share, connect, and find comfort together.
Our tears come as a way to let us release what we can't hold anymore.
I trust that no one's ever going to find out those deepest, darkest secrets.
Yeah. It's been a hard day. She walks out, and this is what she looks like.
Oh my gosh, give her an Oscar.
Listen to A Really Good Cry with me, Radhi Devlukia, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, fourth quarter, no timeouts, the AFC West. Colleen Wolf, are you prepared to talk the Denver Broncos?
I am ready.
Honestly?
Yeah.
Honestly.
Well, I mean, we'll see what happens once I start talking, but right. I mean, it's, you know.
Honestly.
You have started talking. But
start
well, the timer hasn't
right,
started.
Right, I don't know what's going on there.
All right, let's go. The Broncos, what a disaster last year. So a couple questions here. Can Sean Payton vibe with Russell Wilson like he did with Drew Brees? Will that be enough to fix how broken Russell Wilson looked at times last season? There's talent on this roster, and if Russell Wilson can tap into whatever he was able to have in Seattle with those deep throws and just his awareness on the field during the game, which he just didn't seem to have so many times last season, then they'll be in pretty good shape. The offense was an absolute disaster last year. It was a career bad year for Russell Wilson. A ton of injuries to skill positions. Tim Patrick didn't even make it to the kickoff of the regular season because he was hurt in training camp. Offensive tackle, they used 4 different ones in 2022, 3 of which are free agents. The defense, always solid. That's usually not a problem. An excellent secondary. Patrick Surtain made the leap. That was great to see. But they could use outside linebacker help, a defensive end as well. But it'll be a quiet night for Denver on Thursday of the draft because they have 0 picks in the top 65.
Whoa.
I mean, I'm not comparing Hackett to Urban Meyer at all, but like, it's got that chance to be that kind of leap for the team in general, because the one thing that kind of bugged me about Hackett, it seemed like he, and there was, you know, whispers about this, that he just didn't really have the makeup to stand up to Russell Wilson or stand up to some of the chaos. That there were even sideline shots where you could see the defense confronting the offense and Hackett sort of fades into the background. And it was just like, come on, bro. But I also think that Sean Payton never would have taken this job, or I would assume this, without power. And he's going to have more power than Russell Wilson. And that's going to be tough for Russell Wilson to get out of Russell Wilson after this season if it doesn't go well. I don't think it's like a Russell Wilson or bust situation for Sean Payton. Otherwise, it's a terrible job to take.
Yeah, like what also didn't help Hackett was Russell Wilson couldn't play.
No doubt.
And like with Trevor Lawrence was a rookie that was trapped in a bad situation. If Payton, if Russell Wilson still is terrible in September, like how long is the rope even with Russell Wilson, or is Sean Payton going to have somebody ready to roll that he likes, whether it's
I feel power
a veteran that's out there on the market or somebody they draft and try to develop? I don't know.
They should have, that'll be telling, have a good backup. It doesn't need to be a veteran backup. Maybe it is a rookie.
But like, is he just like,
but they don't have picks.
How does he just break? Like, I don't quite understand.
He was just okay
understand.
Before, and if he gets back to being okay, it's still a bit of a disaster. We were just saying if Deshaun Watson's average, then that's a disaster, and that's like what you're hoping for out of Wilson. Keep an eye on Cortland Sutton maybe as a potential trade chip to get one of those picks. They got enough receivers.
Five, four, three, all right, let's ride.
Two,
the defending Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs. So they just won that Super Bowl as what I thought they were a good team that were lifted to greatness by a magnificent quarterback. So there are areas of improvement here. The offensive line, very interesting. They decided not to tag their left tackle, Orlando Brown. So that opens up a potential massive need on Mahomes' blind side. There are some tackle options in the free agent market. I'd be interested to see if that's the route they go on this. But the defense is also an area of need because, Connie, I remain fairly confident that if they don't throw that flag, I think Hurts is like the biggest sports star in America right now because I think he would have taken him down the field and won that damn game. So their defense was ripe to be picked off there. They weren't. They lucked out. Frank Clark, they let go this week, so he didn't become what they ever wanted him to be. Chris Jones is such a monster. Just give him some help. So I think the idea of offensive line, pass rusher seem like two obvious places for the defending champs to focus on over the next month or so.
They don't have a tackle right now. I mean, their left tackle is about to hit free agency, Orlando Brown, and their right tackle, Andrew Wiley, is about to hit free agency.
It's true.
That's a bit of an issue. I found this tweet from our guy, James Palmer, who unfortunately doesn't have the Twitter account at James Palmer. That is a man who's an entrepreneur, a technologist, and an explorer.
Well, he does a lot.
He still are still explorers?
He hasn't tweeted since 2015, so he's busy.
Wait, they're still explorers?
He's an explorer.
Oh, James Palmer could get that then.
Yeah,
that's
he should go
like
take
an inactive
it.
Account.
But at James Palmer TV, you'll find a very interesting tweet about the Chiefs wide receiver group, who they say will all be back. The plan is to bring back Juju. So a little news there. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. But the plan is to bring him back. And that they expect Kadarius Toney to be their wide receiver one next year.
Wow.
And then McCall Hardman is...
Well, I'm not really counting McCall. Okay. Yeah. You got Sky Moore, you got MVS, you got Kelsey.
That's a
McCall
big
Hardman's
projection.
A free agent, I believe.
For Tony? I mean, I think part of it with Tony, it's like wide receiver one for how many weeks out of the season? But I love like the idea of him on the team with a much larger role. I just trust the Chiefs. They had issues coming out of the Super Bowl loss to the Bucks, and they patched up their line that offseason in a great way. Just kind of just trust them to do it. And like Brett Veach doesn't get enough credit.
Normally you worry about handling success, and they've been to 5 straight AFC championships, so I think they've proven it.
I'm seeing a little exchange here between James Palmer and then Peter King, quote, retweeting about some reporting from Palmer regarding Kirk Cousins back in the day with the Broncos. King wrote, "Sorry, I didn't know this when I wrote on Monday, at James Palmer. You deserve the kudos for reporting Broncos never made an offer to Cousins. He sent it to the Explorer."
Magellan. I love it.
On the high seas. Never saw it on the high seas.
I love it. Okay, but like seriously, how do we get that guy on the pod? The Explorer.
Gotta make sure he makes it. Could get typhoid out there. The Chargers, Mark.
Yeah, I just like I've been looking at what's going on with these guys. I feel like if last year's Chargers team, no, I did honestly. Like if they frustrated you last year, I think I have some bad news for you because it was like last offseason that they went all in to win now with Justin Herbert on a rookie deal. It didn't work out. They're $21 million in the red. They can restructure a number of guys, like every one of these teams, but they're also going to have to sign Justin Herbert to a massive contract at some point.
Football is completely different than basketball.
They just can't really, like, add the talent or depth. They're kind of stuck doing not a lot in this free agency period. And, I mean, they have to absolutely nail their draft. And I was a huge Brandon Staley guy, but I feel like my two biggest memories of him are the way they lost the Raiders game 2 seasons ago, and the absolute implosion against the Jaguars, which his whole branding was that all that old Chargers stuff doesn't exist anymore. All that's just up in the head. We're going to be completely different. But that was like the most Chargers-esque loss ever. And I don't know if Justin Herbert, I do like Kellen Moore in there over Joe Lombardi. But I mean, all things considered, I was looking around. I cannot find a bigger hot seat coach in the AFC than Brandon Staley. Unless the Jets thing went totally south with Aaron Rodgers, they didn't get him. And they had to go in with nobody at quarterback.
I want them to focus on offense. They've spent so much time, resources, money, draft picks on Brandon Staley's defense. This happens when you get a defensive coach because he wants his side of the ball to look good. And they've never been particularly good. They've had moments here or there. Like, let's get as many weapons around Justin Herbert as possible, but I don't really trust them to do it. They're in cap space difficulty, and some teams you think would restructure and be able to spend more, but they're one of those teams that I don't think really spends as much as other teams in terms of cash. And when that NFLPA report card came out the other week, Chargers 30th in the league, F minus training room, C minus training staff, D minus locker room, F food service.
Are you serious?
That report card is terrible news for almost everyone.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe they're getting their food service from the same people that have SoFi Stadium, the best maybe stadium in the entire country and the worst stadium food in the country. Let's fix it, Kroenke.
Or are they talking about the like Costa Mesa? Isn't that where they?
Well, yeah, this is different than their training facility. It has nothing to do with SoFi. But the my point about the SoFi food stands. It's bad food.
That's my favorite take from this entire show, by the way.
The food needs to get better at SoFi. Well, they're a tenant, and that's going to limit their abilities to do anything.
Chargers have nothing to do with it, really.
They need a wide receiver. I know that Keenan Allen was being thrown around as like a cap casualty, but they said that's not going to happen. He's not going
anywhere. Get another one.
They have to draft a wide receiver.
Next Gen said they had the slowest wideouts in the league last year.
Draft one of those fancy tight ends.
You did a hand thing. One of those.
You said cap space difficulty. Is that because you, the concept of heaven and hell, you wanted to stay away from cap space hell? Is that?
Are you editing him?
No, I'm just asking a question. We're not talking about the team anymore. This is just about Greg.
Save it for the theology podcast, Tugboat.
Whoa.
That's awesome.
Is Zumwalt here?
It's on point.
It's disturbingly on point. All right, that's it, right?
No. This is the Raiders from Las Vegas.
Raiders! Greg Rosenthal.
Okay, this team needs defensive backs. It needs linebackers. It needs pass rushers. It needs run stoppers. That's the entire defense. They need a defense. They have nothing on defense.
It's need a quarterback, too.
They're in a tough situation. I think McDaniels took a difficult – they need offensive linemen.
Well,
he took a difficult
– terrible.
He took a difficult job. Not a lot of people on their roster that I think long-term are going to be there and, like, reasonably high expectations because they were coming off a playoff appearance. They're in a tough spot. I think they're in the toughest spot in this division.
You trust Josh McDaniels to be the guy to save this?
It doesn't look good. Like I'm looking at this team right now, and
they have a lot of cap space. That is one thing.
That is a plus.
They are a team that you hear struggles with escrow. Gotta keep that in mind.
One of those teams. Yeah, that couldn't get Lamar because they couldn't
escrow
afford
hell
all the
escrow guaranteed difficulty.
I thought Darren Waller might be a guy that they look to trade, but there has been reporting that that's not the case. I don't know if I totally buy
that. Is Davante Adams definitely?
Yeah, I
staying
think he's
there?
Definitely staying.
I'm sure he's thrilled about this.
Who are they connected to right now?
Jimmy Garoppolo has been a name that's obviously knows.
Texans
McDaniels.
Are also connected.
Jimmy G and a rookie.
Yeah, they could draft seven.
I think
overall.
They could. They're a candidate to move up from seven or draft someone like Will Levis.
And they did. He did very good work. It looks even better now with Mac Jones in 2021. So give if we want to see if McDaniels can play the guitar, give him some runway with a young quarterback and see if they can build something here.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with them like moving on from Carr. I do wonder if there was another world where they thought, we'll have Tom Brady by this stage in the offseason versus nothing, but you'd have a good draft position. You didn't know that when you had Derek Carr essentially leave the building, though.
They just have so many needs. So Dave Ziegler and McDaniels just have – it's tough to team build in one offseason. That many spots on defense, you're counting on your coaches to do it a little bit. I do think Jimmy G would be better than Derek Carr with Josh McDaniels. I've always thought he would have been better if he stayed in that system.
I'm with you.
How about Jimmy G? Yeah, pair him with a first-round rookie. Jimmy G is not going to play 17 games anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Aaron Rodgers is completely not.
That's just they keep. There's. It sounds like it's a no-go. I think from a money
escrow.
Angle too. Yeah,
I could see them going for a Javon Hargrave in free agency for a James Bradbury. How about all the Eagles?
I hate that.
Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. They literally need everything on their defense.
Other than that, things are looking really good in the desert for 23.
I can't wait.
Sorry. We love you, Raiders.
Dark Sun.
Jackpot, baby!
That is around the AFC in 48-ish minutes. Good work.
Loved it.
Colleen, you've said it all.
It's been so much fun being in studio today, and I'm just happy that I was able to carve a little time out to see my friends.
Very nice.
That's
nice. When does the summer of Connie begin? We need to know
it's
that.
It's already begun.
For scheduling.
In March.
It's now, pretty much.
You went right to Hotlanta. Up next, where? The Caribbean, perhaps?
Maybe.
Africa?
You know, I gotta figure it all out. Trying to go on some type of retreat. We'll see.
Greece?
Greece is always something that I'm
going to do. A darkness retreat? Yeah,
well,
I mean, it is only March. That's really not that close to the summer. It also hasn't topped like 55 degrees and raining here.
But this is when you plan for your summer.
Weeks. Okay.
So.
I feel like you and Gonzo, maybe an ayahuasca retreat could be
on
your radar.
That's absolutely not. Like, no way. You could not even pay me money to. No. It sounds terrible.
Why, just
because
of the company?
No.
I think there's a little dignity loss with certain aspects of the retreat, as I've heard as well.
With ayahuasca, you are in a bathroom, and it's like food poisoning, essentially.
The body rejects it largely until it kicks in.
That's not my idea of fun.
Right. Mm-hmm. I understand that. I'm sorry for bringing
it
up.
I'm bored.
All right. We will be back. We gave you guys a lot of content the last couple
so
days.
Much.
But there's more coming because around the NFC in 48 minutes with the great Claybon coming up later this week. So stay tuned for that. And that's that.
Was this
the closest it ever came to Mark hitting Greg?
I was not attempting to hit anyone.
But the
was it a swing?
I like how feisty
the arm
it
was
over
close.
There.
I was not. Just it was a
keep it spicy.
Heed the call.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.